Good morning to you. Oh, this actually works this morning. Wonderful. I don't really like these, you know, they kind of fall off on me every once in a while. Pastor Jim is on vacation this week, so Val Benton will be delivering the sermon, and I'm helping with the rest of the service this morning. So welcome to all of you this morning. Welcome to visitors that are here. And if you haven't signed the guest book, please do that. Out there in the entry, there's a few announcements this morning. in the bulletin, I think it was left out, but there is Crafters this coming Tuesday at 9 o'clock. So all of anyone that's interested, please come and join the fellowship, and we have a lot of fun. I also want to. Last Monday, a group of us went to down to Coon Rapids to feed my starving children. And so thank you to all of those that went. We met some new grandchildren. So this was wonderful. And hopefully we'll be able to do this again and that we can have a few more. And thank you, Wally, for pardon me, for organizing that. It's just a couple of hours of service to our Lord, and it was lots of fun, and we had good music to go with it, too. The other announcements, when you came in today, you saw that you have a new kind of form. It's not our regular time and talent form. The Stewardship and Finance Committee designed a new one. We ask you to fill this out at coffee. And there's a basket here in the narthex, and if you would please return that. The results of all of this, we'll be passing it out on another Sunday also, but we're going to accumulate all of this. Each committee in church will receive a copy of the book, along with Welka, and we really encourage you to step out and to try something new. We are a church, and we are the disciples of Christ. And as the disciples of Christ, we are called to be stewards. And stewards mean to serve God. And so we ask you to help make this church a friendly, hospitable place, but we need your help. We need your help to volunteer. And so, if there are items on the time and talent sheet that you can volunteer for, please do that. If you find that you have another interest or another service project or another mission, please write that down, how your time or talents can be utilized. So please, we encourage you highly to do that. Also, the veggie stand opens this coming Saturday, and there's a board outside. There are people here that bake, and so they need some supplies. And you'll notice that there are some little white things like flour or chocolate chips or nuts or butter. So if you can help donate some of those items, just take that slip and return the items to the kitchen and mark them veggie stand. That way, people that are baking, and this goes on for a couple of months, so when the board is clear, we'll have some new items on there. I think that's all for today, but we thank Val for preaching today. Let's begin with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you today with grateful hearts. We thank you for the beautiful sunshine that you adore your majesty with. We thank you for all of your creation. We ask your blessing on this service this morning. Help us to open our hearts to hear the Holy Spirit. Help us to hear your word as you speak to each of us. Help us to learn to serve you, to love you, and to love your children. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The song for opening is found on page 619. Oh, no, we're not going to. Oh.
I figured you sing, but eight verses is a little.
That's a little bit long. So, how many do you think we should sing?
The first four, and let's stand on the last verse.
Okay, we'll sing four verses and we'll stand on the fourth. Okay, that sounds wonderful. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who forgives all of our sin, whose mercy endures forever. Amen. In the presence of God, who sees our hearts and our minds, let us confess our sin. Let's take a few moments of silent reflection. Strength, we confess that we are captive to the power of sin that dwells within us. We put ourselves first and others last. What we think will make us happy leaves us longing for more. Even when we want to do what is good, we find ourselves doing the opposite. Rescue us from death's grip on our lives and raise us up day by day that we may be alive in God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Sisters and brothers, all have fallen short of the glory of God. And therefore, we are justified by God's grace as a gift. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, in whom we have forgiveness of sin, life, and salvation.
Amen.
Let's see, where do I go next? Okay. Greetings. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray the prayer of the day. O God, you have prepared for those who love you joys beyond understanding. Pour into our hearts such love for you that loving you above all things, we may obtain your promises, which exceed all that we can desire, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
The first reading is from Jeremiah 28, 5 to 18. Through a symbolic action, Jeremiah insisted that Judah and all the surrounding nations should submit to the king of Babylon. Hananiah contradicted Jeremiah, who in reply insisted that Hananiah's rosy prediction should not be believed until it came true. God confirmed the word of Jeremiah and sentenced the false prophet Hananiah to death. Then the prophet Jeremiah spoke to the prophet Hananiah in the presence of the priests and all the people who were standing in the house of the Lord. And the prophet Jeremiah said, "Amen. May the Lord do so. May the Lord fulfill the words that you have prophesied and bring back to this place from Babylon the vessels of the house of the Lord and all the exiles. But listen now to this word that I speak in your hearing and in the hearing of all the people. The prophets who preceded you and me from ancient times prophesied war, famine, and pestilence against many countries and great kingdoms. As for the prophet who prophesies peace, when the word of that prophet comes true, then it will be known that the Lord has truly sent the prophet." We will read Psalm 13 responsively. When you see the bold R, respond with the refrain, "I trust in your unfailing love, O Lord." How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How shall the perplexity in my mind and grief in my heart day after day? How long shall my enemy triumph over me? Look upon me and answer me, O Lord, my God. Give light to my eyes, lest I sleep in death. Lest my enemy say, "I have defeated you," and my foes rejoice that I have fallen. I trust in your unfailing love, O Lord. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart is joyful because of your saving help. I will sing to the Lord who has helped me richly. I trust in your unfailing love, O Lord. Please rise for the gospel.
The gospel lesson for today is found in Matthew chapter 4. When Jesus sends his disciples out as missionaries, he warns them of persecution and hardship they will face. He also promises to reward any who aid his followers and support their ministry. "Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward." Here ends the gospel. The song that we'll sing now is number 773. You may be seated.
Thank you. Good morning. You can probably imagine this is a little nerve-wracking. I woke up about 3 a.m. from a nightmare that I got up here to speak and my notes were gone. And I looked over and for some reason Pastor was playing away at the organ and he yelled, "Just tell him anything." So I've already lived the nightmare today, people. But God bless Pastor. We pray for him on his vacation for a time of renewal, and we pray for Karen and her mom. They're in our thoughts. It's good to worship together today and raise our voices, right? And today's message is about voices. In the first lesson, we have two voices, two men. And both men are claiming to be a prophet, and both men are claiming to be the true voice of God. And in one of the most important decisions the kingdom of Judah will ever make, it has to decide which man is telling the truth. Now, what's going on here is Jeremiah, and he's kind of known for this kind of thing. He's wandering all around town wearing this big old yoke, and he's telling them that the kingdom of Judah, God wants them to submit to the yoke or the tyranny of Babylon. Now, Hananiah, on the other hand, is telling them the exact opposite. And at one point, he even violently, in the temple, in front of everyone, rips the yoke off Jeremiah's neck, and he smashes it. And he said, God has broken the yoke of Babylon. Within 2 years, all the holiness will return to the temple and will be free. To which Jeremiah kind of responds, brother, I wish that was true, but it's not. God wants us to submit to Babylon. And if we only do what God wants, things are going to go so much easier for us. Which is the true voice of God? Judah didn't have the Bible. They don't know the end of the story. And unfortunately, the kingdom of Judah, its people, and its powers choose wrong. They listen to Hananiah. And within a year, the false prophet Hananiah is dead. And at a later point, the king Zedekiah, who will be the last king of Judah, is in chains. He's forced to watch his sons murdered in front of his eyes, and then his eyes are put out. So that's the last thing he'll ever remember seeing. And Jeremiah, the true voice of God, is left lamenting the destruction of Jerusalem. Kind of a downer. I love Jeremiah, but he is not known for being a barrel of laughs. Now, on every Sunday, we have an alternate reading we could also choose. And I want to share that story with you, too, if I may, because it's also about voices, and it has a happy ending. It's from the book of Genesis, and a lot of us know this story. It's a story of Abraham, our father in the faith. And one day, God calls to Abraham, and he says, Abraham, I want you to take Isaac, your beloved son, up to the lonely hilltop. And when you're there, I want you to build an altar. I want you to tie Isaac up and put him on it. And I want you to sacrifice him to me, the Lord your God. And Abraham hears the voice of God and he obeys. He takes Isaac up to the hill. He makes an altar. He binds Isaac and lays him on the altar. And just as Abraham raises his knife, and make no mistake about it, Abraham's going to kill his son. Just as he raises his knife, God calls to him again. And God says, Abraham, don't harm the child. I know now that you wouldn't withhold even your son from me. And that's all I wanted to know. And then God tells Abraham to look in the bushes, and there is a ram that God has provided. Abraham takes the ram instead and sacrifices it to God. If I might digress for just a moment. A couple of years ago, we had two confirmation classes at Bethesda. So on Wednesday nights, Pastor met with the older group who was going to be confirmed, and I would meet with the younger group. And they were about age 15, I suppose, then. And what a wonderful group of young people, if any of you remember them. They'd come from school tired out, but they would be so happy and eager, and they'd open up and they'd talk. And when Christmas was coming, I was so excited because I love the Christmas story. And I was talking away, and I was getting nothing from them. I looked, and their faces were just, and I'm like, are you guys tired? What's going on? And one of them finally said, you know, we've heard this story over and over from the time we're babies. So it wasn't that they didn't love the Christmas story, they did. It wasn't that they didn't believe it, they did. It's just that at age 15, they'd heard it so much, they had lost the living, breathing wonder of it. And before we say, ain't that a shame, let's go back to this story in Genesis about Abraham. A lot of us have heard this story since we were in Sunday school. And I'm wondering, do we realize how mind-blowingly awesome it is? I would like a show of hands. How many of you are parents? Grandparents. Great-grandparents. Thank you. What if tomorrow you woke up and you heard a voice call your name? And it said, you know what, you? You take that child you love more than anything and take it over to the brush pile at Bethesda and finally burn that pile and sacrifice that child to me, the Lord your God. How many of us are going to jump right on that? No, we wouldn't. We would be over here, but we'd be in pastor's office saying the voices have finally driven me nuts. And by afternoon, we'd be checked into the nearest mental health facility. In both of these stories, things could have gone so different. Both stories depend on somebody hearing and recognizing the voice of God. Now, in Jeremiah, what if Judah, the kingdom, had heard God's voice in what Jeremiah was saying? There still would have been the captivity in Babylon. That's a done deal. But they could have spared themselves so much unnecessary grief and death and destruction if they'd known God's voice. Now, in Abraham, what if when God told Abraham to take Isaac and sacrifice him, what if Abraham had responded like we would? What if he said, you know, the God I know and love, this God does not believe in child sacrifice. This God would not tell me to kill my child or any child and refused. Would he still have been our father in the faith? Did God have a plan B? And what if Abraham had took Isaac to the mountain, and just as he raised his knife, when God told him to stop, what if Abraham had said, you know what, I bet that's the voice of evil trying to keep me from doing God's will, and plunged the knife into Isaac? There's so much in that story that could have gone so wrong if Abraham hadn't recognized the voice of God. And what about us? What about our story? We need to hear the voice of God. I don't know if these are the end times. A lot of people think we're living in the end times. If we are, as God's people, we probably need to hear his voice more than his people ever have. All I know is that as I face my end times, as I'm aging here, I've always been a person to do things my own way, right or wrong. But I feel this real turning in me lately towards my heavenly home. I feel this real need to start listening better to God and to hearing his voice. So a lot of you people that have been on this listening journey for years, if you have insights, please share them with me because I know I can benefit from them. I've made just a beginning checklist of how to recognize God's voice or hear it more easily that I want to share with you. Number one is read scripture. It's easier to hear God's voice if you know God. And the best place to get to know God is our Bible. Don't be shy. Don't ever say, I'm just this podunk person that lives in Minnesota. God's not going to talk to me. You're God's child. Of course he'll talk to you. That's what the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is all about. If you're starting a listening journey, start with the expectation that God wants to talk to you and that he will talk to you. Number three is don't be, as St. Paul called it, dull of hearing. I heard another speaker recently call it spiritual wax. Don't lose the wonder. Sometimes you have to work at it. Sometimes you have to strain to hear God's voice. In the Bible, when Elijah went looking for God, he was on the mountain, and first came the great wind. That wasn't God. Then came the earthquake. That wasn't God. And then came fire. That wasn't God. Then came a still, small voice, and that was God. And there he stood on a mountain almost blown apart. Can you imagine how he was straining to have heard that still small voice after all that? Sometimes that's required of us too. And number four, and this one's the hardest one for me, and it's very important, turn down the other noise. Our society is addicted to noise. We have a noise sickness going on. I mean, just listen during the day, the Muzak in the elevator, music, radio, TV, visual noise like billboards and signs. And there's always the stress and the worry that's running through all of our minds that interferes with God's voice. We got to learn somehow to turn that down and focus on listening to God. I'm up to 5 minutes, tops. And then I found I'd fallen asleep, or I'm in the middle of worrying about some stupid thing and I don't even know how I got there. And you have to reset and start all over again. But, you know, practice makes perfect. If we learn to turn down the noise at any time of the day, who knows when God is going to talk to you? So it's worth the effort. Pray. The more we engage God in conversation, the more we learn what his voice sounds like. Don't harden your heart. If today you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Keep your heart soft. Sometimes God says what you don't want to hear, but you got to hear it. And finally, chillax, as my daughter would say. Sometimes you have to totally relax so God can get through like a bolt from the blue. Samuel, when he's called in the Bible, he's just a little child. He doesn't even know God. He's drifting off to sleep when he first hears God call him. I have twice, and I don't know if you believe me or not, I've twice heard, physically heard God talk to me. And I won't describe the voice to you because it'll be meaningless to you. I think maybe God chooses a voice that we will know and won't be able to deny. And I'll tell you about the first time. If you were part of this church, then you might know part of this story, and you might have been part of this story. I had just come home from the Cloquet Hospital. I had just had a colonoscopy, okay? And we all know how much fun that is and what you feel like afterwards. And I laid down in the bed, and I wasn't going anywhere for 24 hours. I guarantee you that. And it wasn't even sleep. I was so tired, I can't even, it was probably still some drugs from La La Land. I can't even describe. I just went somewhere in my head. And all of a sudden, I came back into myself, and I heard the voice. And it said, get up and go get Darwin his sweater. And my reaction was to look up and say, are you serious? Seriously, get up and get Darwin his stupid sweater? Now, for those of you that don't know, Darwin, our beloved friend and choir director, he's down in the cities right now undergoing stem cell therapy, fighting his never-ending battle with cancer. And at the time, Darwin was just looking for a little fun. He was going through one of those cycles of fighting. And he had asked me to make him an ugly sweater for the ugly sweater contest over at the Grand Casino. And it was such a little thing to do. It would have brought him joy. And for some reason, I was so not into it. And I was so obstinate, I just wouldn't do it. And I was avoiding him at coffee hour. I wouldn't even talk to the poor guy. And I heard the voice. It was just a couple days left. This colonoscopy scare kind of came out of nowhere. I was preoccupied with that. A few days left to make that sweater. I wasn't even thinking about it. And I heard the voice. And my words to God were, as a very ungracious human being, I said, Lord, I'll tell you what, I will get off this bed, I will go as far as Salvation Army in Cloquet, and if they have one sweater in Darwin's size, I'll buy the dumb thing and I'll make him his dumb sweater. So I dragged myself out of bed, went down to Salvation Army in Cloquet, and I thought it was safe, because if you've never been there, it's like a quarter of a size of this room. They don't hardly have room for anything. There was like 5 men's shirts, an empty rack, and at the end of that rack, one sweater, a red sweater in Darwin's size. And I'm like, really? Paid $1.50 for it. It was on sale at Salvation Army. Bought it. Stopped at Walmart. Bought a bunch of doofy stuff to sew on it. Went home, looked in my Jamboree truck, and found a bunch more doofy stuff to sew on it. And about 2 o'clock in the morning, when I was halfway through it, I was having such fun. And I knew Darwin was going to win. I knew it wasn't the best sweater on the block in the contest. It was God's sweater. And God wanted to bring Darwin joy. And he was graciously allowing me to be a little part of that. And so I made the sweater, and Darwin was so happy just to get the sweater. It was just so worth it. And he entered the contest, and he was one of the top finalists. He won $250. He made me take half of it. And I felt so terrible about being such a brat through the whole thing. I put it in the church offering plate. Guilt is a great motivator, people. And then he went on to the contest. They put the 10 winners up on the internet with their sweaters, and everybody could vote. And this church rocked that boat. Let me tell you, we did from Pete's retreat, contacting everybody they knew, everybody, their family, their friends, Darwin's old students. My daughter was a nursing student up in Alaska. Her class adopted it as their cause, and they really bonded. And there were people from Finland to China going, "Go, Darwin," voting for Darwin on the internet. And Darwin was so having so much fun. He would go on there and go, "Man, who are these people?" And it was a wild, crazy up and down vote. And in the end, Darwin won $10,000 for his sweater. And I told him, "Get out of Dodge, take that money and take Janine and go to the Bahamas and have a good time." They did not listen to my voice. They listened to God's voice. And Darwin said, "You know, I've been wanting a little extra money for a long time." He paid some medical expenses. He did a good thing for this church with it. And he did a couple good things for Hope Lodge, where they stay while he's taking treatment down the cities. But the whole point was his joy. That was the whole point of the story. God wanted to give Darwin some joy. And he got to me in my relaxed state. And I'm not recommending you have a colonoscopy to hear the voice of God. But I'm just saying, sometimes God uses crazy circumstances to get through to us. And it was worth the ride. It was so much fun. My point is, these might be the end times, but they don't have to be doom and gloom times. If we learn to hear the voice of God, we're going to have such fun. Such crazy, wonderful, unexpected things are still going to be happening to us. For all of you that are well into this listening journey, please keep helping the rest of us along. God bless you. For all of you who are just starting out trying to really listen like me, God bless us. May his grace be with us. May his voice be the first voice we hear in the morning, the last voice we hear at night. May his be the voice we hear welcoming us into the kingdom. Until then, good journey and God bless.
Please stand. God of mercy and grace, the eyes of all wait upon you, and you open your hand in blessing. Fill us with good things at your table, that we may come to the help of all in need, through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer and Lord. Amen. Please turn to page 5 for the prayers of intercession. strengthened by the Spirit who gives us words to speak and hearts that care, let us bring our hopes and needs to God who listens. Let's take a brief silence for prayer. Fill our church with bold witnesses who will work for justice, serve with compassion, share their love, and spread the gospel. Lord, in your mercy, pour out your Spirit on those without access to fresh water and on those who dig wells to provide it for them, that they may be refreshed. Lord, in your mercy, stir in the hearts of those who thirst for justice, that they bring peace, speak out against oppression, and preserve human dignity across the globe. Lord, in your mercy. Make families everywhere be places of safety, encouragement, and love. Protect and uphold healthy relationships between husbands and wives, parents and children, friends and neighbors, and all your people. Lord, in your mercy. Wherever there is brokenness, bring healing. Bind up our wounds. Teach us compassion and dry our tears. Be especially with those we name now. We ask your blessing this morning, Lord, on Darwin and Janine, on Barb Westerland's granddaughter, for all those that are depressed, that are going through illnesses, that are sad or that are lonely, especially the homeless, and those that have addictions. We ask your blessing on our children and, Lord, on each of us that are gathered here this morning. Give us each comfort, reconciliation, and hope. Lord, in your mercy. For those, thank you for those who through your word and deeds have passed on the faith from one generation to the next. Lord, in your mercy. We lift our prayers to you, God of mercy, confident that all things are in your hands. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Let us pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Almighty God, Father, and Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.
Amen.
Go in peace. Christ is with you.
Thanks be to God.
Before we sing our last song, thank you again, Val. And may each of us, during this week, pause a moment and let us listen for the voice of God. Thank you. Number 536.